Okay, good morning. I'd like to thank everybody for coming. The last year before Pesach, and Be'ez Hashem, we hope to begin, perhaps even live, after Pesach, at some point. So today's shiur is entitled "The Inyan Erev Pesach Shechol Lios B'Shabbos," and Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. But that's not the exact title that I gave. I'll explain in a minute why. I believe this topic, going through the halachas of when Pesach comes on Shabbos, Erev Pesach comes on Shabbos, is such a popular topic right now due to the fact this almost never happens. You go through, in the past century, you know, I've seen listings of how many times it happens. It's relatively probably one of the great calendar situations that almost never comes up. It comes up, but comes up now. I think it comes out in a few years from now, but then it goes dormant for another 20 years. So, literally, people go through life and it could be 2 decades till they get to the next one of these situations. And any time you have a situation in halacha which only comes up once every 20 years, people get all nervous, people hawk about it, and there's a lot of tension. You know, we're used to, in halacha, doing things in routines. You know, even the Yom Tovim that come once a year, okay, but it's a routine. This is what you have to do. People know what they have to do for Pesach, they know what to do for Purim. But when you have something like this, where Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, and it changes and complicates a lot of the halachas, so it's a type of thing that people are definitely very focused on. Rabbanim giving shirim about this all over. I wouldn't be surprised if for many people here in the audience, this might be the second, third, who knows how many times they've heard a shiur on this topic. And actually, I myself debated my order of my shiurim for Pesach. I was debating, should I give last week's shiur, flip them around. I could have given last week's shiur this week, and this week's shiur last week. Last week I could have talked about Erev Pesach. And this week, once we got past Erev Pesach, let's talk about the Seder. Let's go to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Seder. But I decided to push it off for 2 reasons. Firstly, I wanted to hear what everyone else is going to say on the topic. But secondly, because it's in the forefront of our minds what we're going to be doing this Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, this very busy time. And I figured it's the best thing to go last. My shiur, the shiur we have today, is entitled "A Less Stressful Shabbos Erev Pesach." And what we would like to do, perhaps different than some of the other shiurim or stuff that you might have listened to, is go through the halachas, but to go through it in a way which hopefully will leave our audience not in a panic, but with more yishav adas, with more tefillos benachas. They know what has to be done. They know the best way to do it. And this way, always, the more planned out you are ahead of time, the better. I remember my wife's grandfather, my Neumann Zatzal in Queens, would always put up, Rav Scheinberg used to give shiurim to women about preparing for Pesach. And one of the themes of Rav Scheinberg was teaching people how to prepare for Pesach in the least stressful manner. And as a posek, Rav Scheinberg felt if he could help women do Pesach is challenging, and if he could allow people to do it in the easiest possible way, good. So that's what we'd like to try to do today for Erev Pesach, Shechol Lios B'Shabbos. And Be'ez Hashem, I guess you'll tell me if this helped alleviate some of the stress when it comes to Pesach. So the first thing where Erev Pesach being on Shabbos creates havoc is in the halachos of Tainas Bechorim. We know there's a din that every Bechor has a chiyuv to fast on Erev Pesach. And really, the origin of it is a little tricky. Once over Shlomo Zalman Orbach has a very interesting pshat. But the basic idea is every full-fledged Bechor has to fast on Erev Pesach. Practically, what we do is we exempt ourselves with a siyum. Many people, as long as they're able to go to a siyum, last year during lockdown made it quite challenging. We gave a whole we touched about that in Shirim, how to go to a shir via Zoom or other easier means of a person himself making a siyum, which unfortunately might be still no gaya for some people. You could check that out from last year's series. But when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, obviously we don't fast on Shabbos. So when is it that we do the Tainas Bechorim? Now I must point out, Tainas Bechorim is a very interesting halacha. Some may not know. Just was talking it over the other day. A person told me they didn't know, they never knew of this. It's a nice trivia question. How is it possible for someone who is not a firstborn to have to fast on Tainas Bechorim? Not a firstborn and still you have to fast on Tainas Bechorim? The answer is, if you have a Bechor. Lacha brings down that if one has a cut on a child who's not yet bar mitzvah and therefore does not fast, there is a responsibility on the father for that father to fast. So even though you're not a Bechor, you're the 10th child in a family, you still might have to fast on Tainas Bechorim. It actually gets a little more complicated if you have a child who's a Bechor, but you yourself are also a Bechor. Talk about maybe even the mother fasting. One of my friends told me, you know, he's a Bechor and his oldest child is a Bechor. So his wife says every year, make sure to bring her back a donut. Tongue in cheek, but it's actually, there's something to that. If I have to be participating in the same, okay. But anyway, so what happens on a year like this when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, on the halacha brings Shulchan Aruch on top of your sheets, Simon Tuf Ayin Sif Beis, the Mechal Erev Pesach on Shabbos, what happens? So, two opinions. Some say we fast Yom Hei. We push it to Thursday. Push it up to Thursday. Why on Thursday? Because usually we don't like fasting on Fridays. Although we had just this year, Asar B'Tavis came out on Friday. But like, yeah, okay, that's what came out on Friday. But to set up a fast where you're pushing it off anyway, okay, so push it up to Thursday. Now the Shulchan Aruch does bring the Yesh Omrim She'ena Misan Mekal. There is an opinion that for Tainas Bechorim, once it gets knocked off its normal perch on Erev Pesach, we cut it out. However, the Ramah writes, Haga Aval Yesh Nog Kesvar Rishonah. We paskin like the first Shita that we push it to Thursday. Okay, so simply put, so anyone who's a Bechor or who's responsible for a Bechor, come Thursday morning, you have a choice. You can either fast or find yourself some siyum to go to. People said this year might be quite easier than other years. Daf Yomi is just about finishing Maseches Pesachim. How appropriate. And hopefully, okay, there'll be people making siyum in. Rav Moshe Feinstein, though, brings up in a tshuva a very interesting idea. And don't remember ever hearing of this before from Rav Moshe itself, but that could be because Erev Pesach coming out on a Friday on the Shabbos does not happen so often. For the record, Erev Pesach could come out on a Friday, and in that case, we would fast on Friday, or have a seal on Friday. That's Bo Bayom. But when it comes out on Shabbos, so we push it to Thursday. So Frecht, Ramosha Feinstein, the following question. Says, I don't get it. Why are you exempt from fasting when you have a seal? It's because of the fact, look, you're part of a Suda's mitzvah. You have a right to be by the Suda. Really, it would apply if you're making a bris on any year Erev Pesach. So then the inner circle, the Baal Bris, the Moel, the Sandik. So the halacha is you don't have to fast on a tainis if you're making a bris, Suda's mitzvah. So that also could exempt the person. The idea basically is, since you're a siyum is something which is broader, the simcha doesn't just spread to the inner circle, simcha is to everyone who's in the shul, who's part of that siyum. So everyone's exempt, but they're exempt from that day. What about Zot Frecht Moshe? Let's say you have a situation, you forgot to fast on Thursday. Forgot to fast, forgot to go to the siyum. Halacha seemingly would be, Rav Moshe says, come Friday, you need to see him. And this Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, in his Emes Yaakov and Shulchan Aruch, they bring this in the footnotes, Rav Yaakov Paskin this. That if someone, for some reason, he's out of town, he forgot about to see him, it's a type of year you can forget about these things if you're not clued in. Thursday is not, Erev Pesach is Shabbos, 2 days away. But if a person forgot the fact, didn't know the fact, that Thursday was Tainus Bukharim, Thursday was the day there were Siyams, he missed Thursday, what's the halacha? Pashtus. Then he has to fast on Friday. But Ramosha asks even stronger. Ramosha asks, so if that's the halacha, if someone missed it on Thursday, that's Friday, it means Friday is also shayach to have Tainus Bukharim. We know practically, yeah, you could have a Tainus Bukharim on a Friday. So if so, what does it help that you go to a Siyum on Thursday? So on Thursday, you have no Chiyuv, but the Chiyuv should pop back up come Friday. So going to a Siyum on Thursday shouldn't solve your problems, asks Rav Moshe. The Chiyuv should come back on Friday. On a regular year, the Chiyuv is just there on Erev Pesach. So you have your Siyum and Erev Pesach, you're finished. But here, this year is different because it's sort of 2 days you could have your Siyum. You could have your Tainus Bukharim. We do it practically on Thursday. But the Etzim Friday is a day you could also do it. So you exempted yourself from Thursday. Great. So do it on Friday. That's where Moshe finds the ass. Where Moshe personally comes out to be Makel. And he says, anyway, it's a nidcha, and we find the sheet on Shulchan Aruch, like we mentioned, that there may not be a chiv in a year where it's nidcha. So Moshe says it's sufficient, and that is the halacha l'maisa. It's sufficient to hear just one siyum on Thursday, and you're good to go. However, there are others. It's brought down in the Orchas Rabbeinu of the Stipler, both himself and Baal Chaim and Chaim, would participate in siyumim, make siyumim, on both days of Thursday and Friday. Chaim Karayevsky makes a siyum every year, Tainus Bukharim, in Kol Torah Kula. So that's pretty cute. I wonder what he does on Friday. I'm not questioning how Chaim can make a siyum in one day. I just wonder, every year Tainus Bukharim is Kol Torah Kula. I can't imagine Rav Chaim did a second Kol HaTorah Kula Siyum for the next day. But I'm sure he could pull out, some smaller Siyum for day two. But that's brought down what they would do. I found also, someone sent me from the Rav of Sanhedrin Merchevet. There, he also brings down the idea that people fast or have a Siyum would also make sure to go to see him on Thursday and Friday. He has it sad that some people will leave over food from the Siyum on Thursday to also be mishtatif in that. That sounds a little chedeshtek. That would be considered part of the Siyum. I'd leave over the food. But no, but he brings that down. I remember myself, the last time I remember well, I don't know what happened before, after that, but I remember in 2005, I was zochet to be in Eretz Yisrael that Pesach, and that was one of these years, Erev Pesach, Shechol Leos B'Shabbos. I remember all over, I actually was in Sanhedrin Merchevet, and I remember there were Siyumim both on Thursday and on Friday. So practically, look, if a person's able to find a Siyum on Friday besides Thursday, Matovu Manoyim, but Halacha L'Maisa Moshe Paskins, Thursday is enough. You know, I did hear people giving over, oh, you should go to the Siyum on Thursday and on Friday. It's easy. I'm sure you'll find one. L'Maisa, this is part of my stress issue. I would say that the Rav Moshe says clearly, and that's the Pasha Halacha, is just to do it on Thursday. You don't need to go on Friday. But if a person happens to be there, okay, Matovu Manoyim. Great. So that's Tainus Bukharim. But that's just the appetizer. Here's where the big issues come up. The Shabbos Sudas. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Simen Tav Resh Ayin Aleph, the Mechaber begins, Asur Lechol Pas Mishas Asiris Lomayla Kdei Sheyocho Matzah L'Tiyavu. It is Asur to eat matzah on Erev Pesach in order that you should eat matzah L'Tiyavu. Okay? So, now, the halacha here is talking about matzah ashira, that's egg matzah. Now, really, regular matzah, non-egg matzah, that is asur pashit the entire day. Now, that we know there are different minhagim when people stop eating matzah. There are some people that are machmer from a month before. Right after Purim, that's the end of matzah, and they mamish wait a full month for eating matzah. There are others that are machmer, not that matzah, from Rosh Chodesh. But l'kuli alma, you can't have matzah. There's an iser to have matzah on Erev Pesach. Now, okay, we'll talk soon. Matzah Ashira, someone has rich matzah. Matzah with eggs, egg matzah. That is a different story, and we'll talk about that. But real Seder matzah, 100% L'kol Yama, would be also to have come Erev Pesach. Now, that being so, when Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, we have a big problem. Any other year, okay, no one told you you have to eat bread for breakfast. So, okay, no one's going to have bread. The last crumbs of bread you do the night before by Bedikas Chametz. You go out, you burn it, you're not eating bread, don't have any bagels in your house, it's over. But on a year like this, where Erev Pesach is Shabbos, we know there's a chiyuv of Suda Shabbos to have Lacha Mishnah. There's a chiyuv to eat bread. And thus, to make a motzi. So thus, we have a big problem. During the rest of the year, of course, any Shabbos, you can make hamotzi and matzah. But not today. As we said, it's Asr and Erev Pesach to eat matzah. How am I to have bread that opens a real can of worms? Especially if one has little children in their house, especially if they're afraid of getting crumbs around. It's very hard. You just have the whole house cleaned. It's Erev Pesach. And that's a big dilemma. So we can't have matzah, and we're your wife's isser on bread might be worse. So what does one do? So I'm going to go through a few options. Now, first and foremost, look, if you could have matzah bread and you don't have children in the house and you could eat in a very, very clean way, and there's no crumbs, okay? It's great. Or heard all different recommendations. Some people say don't use challah, use pita bread. Okay. Whatever floats your boat. But to have just regular challah in a home and take care of that, fine. But once you're dealing with a home with children, grandchildren, it gets much, much, much more dangerous. So what do you do? So I'll tell you the first option, which is what I plan on doing. And it's an option we could do, hopefully do here in Florida, weather permitting. But it might be one of the advantages of Pesach in Florida. But what I, as Hashem, plan on doing is having my Suda outside. Have the entire Sudos Friday night, Shabbos, outside my house. I'll have my bread, my challah, outside the house. Okay, anything gets on the floor, you have to sweep it up, whatever. But on my patio, maybe I'll rent a tent. And that's how I plan to have my Sudas on Shabbos. We'll soon see that might be the easiest way to do it. Okay? Now, Lav Dafka, if you're those listening in New York, what's the temperature in New York? You know, I don't know. But Chicago, how cold is it? You know, Montreal, there's still snow on the ground. So not in many places we can't necessarily, you know, you only do sukkahs once a year. Get outside in the cold in your coats in Canada. But in Florida, hopefully, Blayan Hara, talking about it too much, maybe don't make any problems. But hopefully one could eat outside and thus have no problems with having challah. Second option, which people do, is, okay, you don't have the setup, you don't have the situation where you can eat everything outside. The whole suit outside, it's harder. But what about eating just the challah outside? I'll eat the rest of my meal inside my house. But challah, can I eat my challah outside? So the answer is yes, providing there's a few other halakhic considerations. And this might be the next best option, to eat the bread outside. Now, one thing that's very important is if you're eating your bread outside, you also have to make kiddush outside. Because of the halachas of kiddush b'makom suda. You have to make kiddush in the spot where you're going to eat the suda. Now, it is allowed, kiddush b'makom suda doesn't mean that you have to eat the whole meal, the main meal inside. What Chazal consider the main meal is the hamotzi, or in the case of the Kiddush, the mezonos. So Kiddush B'makom Suda says, as long as you wash, as long as you make Kiddush and wash and eat your hamotzi outside, that fulfills the dinim of Kiddush B'makom Suda. So if you're going to eat your challah outside, make sure also to make Kiddush outside. But then you also get in to other halachic issues. And that really gets involved with, okay, so now you're going to go back inside your house. Really, I guess it's twofold. There's issues if, okay, if you're not eating any more bread, now you go back into your house. So there are halachas of one separating oneself from eating bread anymore. Might be shadows of new brachas once you go into the house. Because once, why don't I have to make a bracha in the middle of a meal? Because it's covered by my bread. But if you've finished your bread, and now you're walking into your house, and I'm finished with it, Now you're going to sit down, have a whole nice meal. You have your soup, you have your that's one of the reasons why you're having it inside, because soup, now you can bring soup outside. Must be, you have to have the middle of the suda inside your house. Okay. Option B is this week don't have soup. But Lamaisa, person eats his meal inside the house, it might be shailas of having to make a new bracha, because once you're not, no longer, you're finished eating bread, there is a tzad in the halacha that you wouldn't be able to easily connect to your suda outside. Now, if it's a patio and this, and you could see it, okay, that makes it better. I saw some post can bring, someone quoted to me, as Shmuel Miller from Toronto, but I saw that Ramosha said the same thing. It is a nice trick, the opposite of sukkahs. Sukkahs were very nervous, right? You're eating in your sukkah, don't have challah in your mouth when you walk into your house, because that would be chayiv in a sukkah. You have to swallow and finish your challah before you get up from the table and go into your house for anything. But on Erev Pesach, it might be pumfaket. That's the best idea. You eat your challah in the sukkah, outside. But have the challah in your mouth when you walk in, let's say, to get something. You walk into your house with challah in your mouth, not when it's fully absorbed in your mouth, not afraid it's going to fall out anywhere. So you have challah in your mouth. Once you eat that challah in the house, that, I believe, will have will help for any food that you're eating here that would help with the brachas. Really, there's another step which gets trickier. Where do you bench? So really, if you ate all of your challah, forget about the last trick, but let's say you ate all your challah outside, then really, you're going to have to go back outside the bench. So this option of doing chatzi-chatzi works, but you have to make sure to cover your halachic basis. Make sure to make kiddush outside. Make sure potentially there are issues about brachos. For sure, benching one should do outside. There are shilas also. Shabbos candles. Really, that's a shilu in my case with the Shabbos candles. Okay. But that's a second option. Okay. So one could eat the full suda outside, is one option. Eat part of the suda outside. I always remember, this is without Erev Shabbos on Erev Pesach being on Shabbos. I remember this time of year, I'd drive by Rabbi Sharfman's at Saul's house, and I'd see him later at night sitting by his doorstep eating chametz. Well, his wife made sure that he only ate chametz outside the house. Remember, he had a chair outside the house eating chametz. Yeah, the safest place for chametz, once your house starts getting Pesach thick, is outside the house. Option three for Erev Pesach, what comes out on Shabbos, is to eat egg matzah. Egg matzah is something which is a tricky thing, right? At least the minhag by us Ashkenazim is one does not eat egg matzah over the Yom Tov Pesach. In normal situations, one does not eat egg matzah, and we don't consider it chametz. Maybe there are some people who consider it chametz. We don't consider it chametz. Just give it to kids. But we don't eat egg matzah on Pesach. So that ends up being to our advantage. If we don't eat egg matzah on Pesach, so that's not matzah, which one could be yotzei the mitzvah. And therefore, if it's not matzah, then one could be yotzei the mitzvah. There is no iser of it, eating it on Erev Pesach, at least before the 10th hour. Once it gets closer to Yom Tov, okay, there's more problems with anything mazonos, anything we'll talk about of matzah meal. But on Erev Pesach, if it comes out on Shabbos, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva. It's in Aruch Chaim, Siman Kuf Nun Hei. where Moshe permits one to have Ek Matzah on Erev Pesach. I do remember as a kid, I believe we did this. And you can have Ek Matzah, where Moshe says you can wash on it, and that will be your Lecha Mishnah that you're going to have at the Seudah. I did find there's a new sefer put out by Shmuel Felder, Posikin, the big Posikin in Lakewood, who spoke to Reb Reuven Feinstein, who said that Reb Moshe wrote in the Tshuva that one could have Ek Matzah, and he did it in general because he was very afraid of any permutation of chametz coming into your house. Very nervous of that, and not everybody can eat outside. You know, Reb Moshe, where is he going to eat? On a fire escape, Lower East Side, apartment buildings, not so practical. And you have Erev issues in many places. So Rav Moshe said the easiest thing people should do is Ek Matzah. And because he was fearful of chametz problems. But personally, Rav Moshe himself in the house, Rav Reuven testified, Rav Moshe had a challah. He was extremely careful not to have any crumbs around. Now, what gets tricky with the Ek Matzah situation is how much does one have to eat? How much Ek Matzah must one have in order to be Yotzi the Din of Lecha Mishnah on Shabbos? And this gets tricky, really gets involved in how do you view Ek Matzah. And I saw many different shitas. Seems to be brought down, there are some that say, oh my gosh, you're eating Ek Matzah? You have to eat, you know, sheets and sheets of that matzah. This rings a bell, Pat Shalvin. You know, there are some that are very machmer, that you have to eat a lot of Ek Matzah to be koveya suda on this matzah. You need a lot. Really more, not the natural, normal pas, normal bread, since it has so much fruit juice in it. And you're going to need to eat a lot of it in order to be koveya suda. It's like, you know, being koveya suda on a Danish, you know. It's different than being koveya suda on regular bread. So there are some that say you got to eat one, two, who knows how many, a lot of matzahs. There are others, opposite extreme, Rav Moshe himself, seems in the tshuva, was quite makel to say, since you're using this for Suda Shabbos, so you don't need any big share. This is considered like pas. It's the greatest form of Kviya Suda. And therefore, any amount is good enough. I saw quoted, it seems from Rav David Feinstein Zatzal, somewhat in between. He didn't look like he said as makel as supposedly his father said, but he definitely wasn't as machmer as people to have tons and tons of matzah. So you have to check what your local Rav tells you, how much Ek Matzah to eat, if that's the path one's going. There are multiple different shitas out there. Look, I told you the easiest one, but the last thing you want to do is like to stuff your mouth with so much Ek Matzah on Erev for the meals, the Sudas on Shabbos, by the time it comes to eating the real matzah that you need to be yotzi the mitzvah, and you're stuffing your mouth now with the third time. Not geschmack. Okay, but one has to weigh, you know, if there's a real person who can't pull off eating outside and fearful having any bread around their home, especially with little kids. Okay, then Ek Matzah is the way to go. You just, you know, you can shop around. Maybe you could have, should have. But to find an easier amount of how much Ek Matzah to eat. So that's one big issue coming up the Shabbos. The second big issue, which we'll see how big of an issue it is the idea of Shal Shus. Ideally, the most ideal world, you know, people should wash three times every Shabbos. Friday night Suda, Shabbos day Suda, and Shal Shudas. So here's the dilemma. We have the Sov Zman Achila. Now, I haven't pointed this out. Whatever Suda you're going to have Shabbos morning, you're going to have that Suda early. Because you have to finish your bread, your matzah, or whatever you're eating, before the Sov Zman Achila. So, here in South Florida, I believe it's like 10:45 a.m. So that's relatively early. Unless you're davening at a Hashkama Minyan, you're not going to be home and finished your bread by 10:45. So every shul has to have Hashkama Minyanim, slat, early Hashkama Minyanim, Nate's Minyanim. You have to daven quite early on Erev Pesach, next Shabbat. So get ready for that. Warning. Now, the Mishavur brings down in Tuf Mem Dalid, Sivkot Meches. So what does one do for Shal Shudas? If you're going to wash for Shal Shudas, but you have to finish your bread before 10:45. It's hard enough to get the Shabbos Day Suda in. How are you also going to get in Shal Shudas? So comes along the Mishnah Berurah, famous idea, that you could split the Shabbos Day Suda into two. Meaning that you're going to wash. Let's say you're davening very early. You're davening nights. You're home from shul. So if you split that Shabbos Day Suda into two, which we'll see in a moment how that's possible. So technically speaking, you could wash, have some Suda bench, and then have a second Suda. And this way you get all three Sudas all before the clock, you know, expires 10:45, the buzzer beater, and okay. This way you get all three in. If you're eating egg matzah, as we said before, oh my gosh, how much egg matzah are you eating if you're getting in all three of these Sudas? Now, what are the requirements? If you're going to do this, the idea of splitting up a Suda, there's a few very important requirements. Number one is you have to have a legitimate break between the two Sudas. Otherwise, you're benching and your brachos are bracha shein tzricha. They're not needed. You wash, you eat a suda, you eat bread. Really, you should probably have something else also, some type of appetizer, and don't just have a suda with bread. We'll explain in a moment why that's important. But, okay, you're going to wash, you'll have your appetizer, you have some fish, have some salad, poppers, whatever you want to eat. Have that. Then bench. Then you need to take a break. Take a walk around your block. 15, 20 minute break. And then sit down again to have your third Suda of the day. That is something the Mishnah Berurah brings down. And that's something which you hear all over what I'm talking about. Lamaisa, even if someone does this, you didn't fully fulfill Shal Shudas. Why? Because really Shal Shudas is supposed to be later in the day, after Chatzos. This is all happening before the end of the fourth hour of the day. Nowhere near yet Chatzos. So you'd have to still have a Shal Shudas later in the day anyway. The only reason people are doing this is that they can be fill according to one daya. There's one daya in halacha that one can fulfill Shal Shudas in the morning. So thus, on the tzah, for that to be yotze that shita in the best possible way with eating bread. So that's this idea the Mishnah Berurah brings. So splitting your suda into two. Now, at the same time, I would say, I was going through this, and it bothered me. I said, of all the burdens that people have on themselves, the idea of not just having one Suda before finish the bread before 10:45. But to have two sudas, that doesn't, that sounds like, and what are we gaining by it? So Yisrael Kedoshimain, you gain a l'chachila din of shal shudas according to one shita. True. You know what? Well, come on, practically. Are there people here that eat, if you eat all the time your shal shudas with bread and kol kavod? There are many people that don't eat shal shudas with bread. Anyway. Okay, you're right, maybe they should do, every week they should eat with bread. Okay, well, say they don't. You know, this is not the first week to be yotzi that mitzvah dafka with bread. It's harder. It makes it so much more complicated. It also means you have to make sure to daven extra early to have enough time to have a real hefsek to pull this off. If you're not going to have a real hefsek, then it's a chumrah to us l'day kula. It's a chumrah which is going to bring you, going to make brachos, and those brachos are brachos of latin. Shein tzrichos. You don't need those brachos. You have to be mafsik. There has to be enough time in between. And it's just also a whole other burden on a person. And I really was going through it, discussing it with my friends. And, you know, as it is, you know, it's somewhat questionable. The second suda of the day should be more chashuv than the third suda. If all you're going to have is just bread and maybe an appetizer, but the chalitz coming out for shal shudas, that's a little funny. Usually we do it the other way. Our second suda of Shabbos, first suda of the day, that's when you have your chalitz, that's the chash of the suda. Here that's going to be your shal shudas at 10:30. That's a little funny. I was glad to hear, you know, the best is when people know what topic you're even going to share on. They come over to you with marmakomas and ideas. So Rabbi Ephraim Katz from the neighborhood was speaking to me a lot about this topic, and he found that he kept notes from Erev Pesach, Shecholios B'Shabbos, years back, and he found from Rabbi David Feinstein that Rabbi David Feinstein Zatzal said, this is the week, you don't have to worry and make yourself crazy about Shal Shudas. Definitely not to run around and have your two sudas before 10:45. Is quite rough. So I'm happy to hear that Posek Ador went along with such a mindset. Don't make people crazy with two sudos Shabbos morning. Now what does one do? Okay, you want to do Shabbos Shudos. So the Mishnah Berurah himself brings down the idea of having gebruchs. Gebruchs, we know, is matzah, which came in contact with water. And that, something made of matzah meal, for example. And that's something that one could recite mazonos on. And something like that, it's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah that one could use that for Shal Shudas. And you can say, but it's gebruchs. Okay? But gebruchs is an issue. People that have the chumrah of gebruchs is an issue on Pesach because they're afraid. Maybe there's some problem in there. A chametz is aser b'mashahu. But chametz aser b'mashahu is only true on Pesach. On Erev Pesach, it's not. There's no iser. You could do bittul on Erev Pesach. So even if you're afraid, part of it, contact became chametz, avatel it. Iker hadin, one could have gebruchs. Chavetz Chaim brings it down. However, there are many, many people that have minhagim dating back, but they don't have anything like this. Okay, so you don't have your mizonos, you don't have this for shal shudas. Option three for shal shudas is really to have meat. Meat would be a milo. One could have meat. You know, they should have filled up on it. That's really what the Shulchan Aruch talked about in the beginning of Tosh Reish Ayin Aleph. That a person eats a little meat, if not meat, it's too heavy for them, have some fruit. One could be Yotzei Shal Shudas also with fruit. I had someone call me up months ago. They're planning, boy, not an easy week. Their son's bar mitzvah is this Shabbos. Shabbos Erev Pesach. And then they called me up months ago going through the halachas, what's going to be. I started telling them, well, you're going to have to do it very early in the morning. And going through this, like, these situations, person never heard of this before, it doesn't happen so often. And they're okay, we worked out how to have the Suda. She says, what's going to be for Shalosh Shudas? Oh no, don't you have Shalosh Shudas? What's going to be? I knew, you know, it's enough to plan for Bar Mitzvah. You think, you know, Erev Pesach, oh my gosh. So I said, why don't you just have fruits? She's like, oh, such a great idea. So excited about that idea, so happy. Yeah, you have to know the situation. You make yourself crazy having multiple Sudas. You know, eating extra egg matzah to have two Sudas in the morning. Don't make yourself so crazy. Look, if you're able to do it, matov manan, to be yotzi one shita, Yisrael kadoshim heim. But aside from that, have your one Suda and worry about Shalosh Shudas. Even the tzad to say halacha this week, you skip Shalosh Shudas. Don't make yourself crazy. Really, you know, there's an important amount of stuff. We'll go through really two other parts. Okay, after you finish your chametz, and then some other Friday preparations that one should do. After you finish your chametz, very important. On a normal year, it comes to Sofas Man Achila, and then there's Sofas Man Sreifa, it comes Asr Bahana. So usually there's a gap, there's an hour in between. And people get used, you do your bittul, the second bittul, your kol chamira, you're going to do that at the time of the burning. The way it comes out this year, that doesn't work out. You do your bedika like regular with all the halachas on Thursday night. Thursday night is man bedika. Friday morning, a person shouldn't wait till later, they should do it the regular time they normally do. Friday morning, you burn your chametz. But here's where a difference comes up. Being the fact Friday morning is not Erev Pesach, one does not yet say Kol Chamira. Very important. You're going to wait to say the Kol Chamira and to be mafker your chametz. You do that on Shabbos. You're allowed to be mafker your chametz on Shabbos. And we wait to say the Kol Chamira on Shabbos. So the best time to say is as soon as at the end of this Sofas Man Achila, you're going to get this way, you just finished, you finish eating all the challah, you put it away, check the clock, okay, it did before 10:45. Right then and there, before you get involved in some, you know, major conversation over your cholent, make sure to say the Kol Chamira, it's so important. Especially not doing the last vacuuming on Erev Pesach on Shabbos. So make sure as soon as you finish eating your bread, say your Kol Chamira, whatever leftover little pieces you have, one should very carefully gather them up and flush them down the toilet. You should have in mind when you flush them down the toilet, you rekayim the mitzvah saseh of Tashbisu, destroying chametz. You're burning chametz on Friday, but to get rid really of the last chametz, that would be a mitzvah of Tashbisu. One should do that through the means, okay, you shouldn't have so much chametz, you're allowed to break it into small pieces. You know, I know there would be some people be nervous about flushing things down their toilet, their pipes. Okay, get your pipes cleaned before Pesach. But Lemaisa, that's the practical way to get rid of it. It's important. One really shouldn't put away chametz on Shabbos. If you have a leftover challah roll, you got to get rid of it. And it may be so simple to can't necessarily put in your garbage can. If you own your garbage can, that's your property. You're in trouble. Maybe if it's a municipality's garbage can, it's different, but that's not so simple either. But you can't put it away with, I'll put away my chametz which I'm selling to the guy. When was your chametz sold to the guy? Pash pshat, before Shabbos. So if you have leftover, this is a very important point. You should try to figure out ahead of time, to the best degree possible, how much chametz you need to have for Shabbos, finish it up, get rid of it, get stuff it down your throat, I don't know, whatever it takes, get rid of the chametz, put it down the toilet, but you can't just stuff it in your closet that's with the chametz sticker stuff. It's not an option. It may not be an option to put it in the garbage can, so you got to get rid of it. Also, it's brought down, the person should wash out their mouth. You could, even on Shabbos, one would be allowed to use a dry toothbrush to clean his teeth. One could use pre-cut dental floss to clean one's teeth. And this way, hopefully you have no chametz, not in your property, nor anywhere inside of you, in your mouth, you would have any problems. Now, these are all things which are happening on Shabbos. Really, preparations for the Seder, which are normally made right before Pesach, before the Yom Tov at night. So normally you do the Erev Pesach in the afternoon. But this year, being that Shabbos, so many things will be Aser, Stam Atzil HaShabbos, but it's at least Aser also because of Hachana, because of preparation. So therefore, in terms, you should roast your egg, your zroa, you should make charoses, even salt water. You want to check your lettuce for whatever you're using for mara, for bugs. Make sure to do all that, but do that this year on Friday. Have your checklist of these are the things I need to do. Roast the egg, roast the zroa, make charoses, make the salt water, check your mara, get your mara ready. Those five things one should do ahead of time on Friday afternoon. There are some people actually they want to measure out the kazesim. Yeah, that should be done beforehand. Not on Shabbos, all these things. And this way, if one goes through these plans, firstly to set up your Shabbos that you're not doing crazy things, you're doing things in the best possible way, way that fits your family best, whatever you're going to eat your suda, what you're going to eat, your procedure for shal shudas, do things in a way which stress is something to take into account in halacha, especially on a busy day like Erev Pesach. But really, if we think about it, if we do it right this year, it could be the best possible Erev Pesach. Because normally on Erev Pesach, he's so harried, he's so busy, especially women, and they come into a suda, into a Pesach suda, Pesach Seder, and they're exhausted. This year, hopefully, once you get past the meals of Shabbos morning, it'll be less stressful, and they could sit back, you could even rest, take a nap, just don't say you're doing it for the Seder, don't say the Farish. But you could rest up, and you come well-rested, focused, looking forward to Be'ezus Hashem, a night which is unlike any other night, the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to give over to one's family what it means to be a Jew, what it means to be a free person. And Be'ezus Hashem, if we go through all these halachas, Baruch Hashem, look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how many halachas. Chasal, Seder, Pesach, Kel, Chasa, Chol, Mishpotel. Ki Nizkel, Asoso, Vishvi, Zoche. To do it in Bez Hashem next year, maybe even this year, in the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim, in Peir of Yameinu. Amen. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful, wonderful Yantuf, Kotuf.